Hey everyone, this is Pam, and you are listening to the podcast Women Who Stutter Our Stories, which can be found on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering at stutterrockstar.com. And it's also freely available as a download wherever you get your podcasts from. Today, I'm excited to speak with another woman that's gonna share parts of her story. So I'd like to say hello and welcome Chantel. Hey, Chantel, how are you today?
Shand Landerson speaking. Hi there, Pam. I'm doing really well, thank you. And I'm really grateful to be on your podcast. Thank you for inviting me. How is it over there in the US?
It's good. It's good. Actually, today is supposed to be a really warm day, which we have not had in weeks. So I'm excited to perhaps have the opportunity a little later to get outside and enjoy that sunshine. So it's nice. How's it there in the UK?
That sounds really nice. Yeah, it's just hit 6 o'clock over here, so it's getting dark outside, but we actually had some nice weather this afternoon. The sun was out. It's quite bitterly cold over here,
Oh.
and it has been for some time, but it was nice to get a sense of this sunshine.
Yeah. Well, spring is not far away, so hopefully it'll just be a few more weeks, and all of us, wherever we are, we will be able to enjoy sunshine more than one day.
I like the sound of that,
Yeah, I
definitely.
definitely do too. So to get right into our conversation, would you introduce yourself, tell us who you are, where you're from, and what keeps you busy?
Yes, so my name's Chantal Anderson and I live in the UK. I actually live in Horsham, in a village called Southwater currently. And I'm originally from a place called Croydon, which is Zone 5, London, if you've heard of it. It's normally spoken about for all the wrong reasons, but yeah, it is a place that I called home for a really long time. What keeps me busy? So I work full time. I'm a civil servant. I sort of work in finance, and as part of my job, being on a graduate scheme, I have to take exams. I'm very excited to have my very final ones at the end of this month, so that keeps me very busy studying for those. And yeah, I like to try and zip in and out of volunteering. I have trained as an instructor in the Army Cadets back in 2018, and I'm very fortunate to have been recently elected as a trustee of Stammer. And I also, when I get the opportunity to, I love taking part in Maguire program courses, which I haven't done for a while, but there's one lined up end of this month.
Wow, you are busy. Oh my goodness. Do you have any time for fun?
Not at the moment, but I've got lots lined up post these last exams. I'm really looking forward to claiming back my evenings and weekends.
Good. That'll be nice. It'll be a relief to not be working as hard all the time. Why did you choose to go into finance? What drew you into that field?
Good question. So, in all honesty, it's kind of my granddad. So, my granddad, he would always say to me, "Oh, Chantal, you should be an accountant. You should be an accountant." And I guess because I didn't know any better, and I was always good at maths, very, very bad at English. I always hated reading and trying to understand, read between the lines, but maths was my strong point. and I did maths at uni. And so when I left, I was trying to get into accounting and I didn't really enjoy it. Like, no disrespect to people that do accounting, as I know some people do enjoy it and it's their thing, but I found it quite repetitive and I found that it didn't allow me to sort of think creatively. So I read this book, which was about sort of a different area of accounting that was a bit more creative, and that made me get into the area of work that I'm in now. And I think finance is great, especially if you're doing it as part of your work, as it's not necessarily something that you want to read about in your spare time, but if you get to learn about it through work, it can help, and you can just have little tips at your fingertips to share with friends and family.
Well, that definitely sounds like it makes it more palatable, maybe, than accounting. To me, accounting just sounds boring.
I
And
agree.
I mean, I'm not good with math, so it would be very difficult for me to do my own personal income tax return. So I generally have somebody else do it, but it's just unimaginable that somebody, especially during the busy tax season, sits there 6 hours, I mean, 6 days a week, all day doing that. I'm like, oh, that would not be for me. Absolutely. I like to be up and moving and talk to people. And so certainly can relate to what you're sharing with that. So you mentioned a couple things that I really want to dive into, but for listeners that may not be aware, what is the McGuire program?
The McGuire program is a speech therapy program, and it's for those who stammer and all of all of those who are a coach or an instructor on this program have gone through the exact same course. So the main things you learn, if I can sort of disclose this information, is that you sort of learn how to control the way that you breathe, and there are lots of like exposure techniques to help desensitize you away from, say, these situations that you're most scared of, so things like public speaking or approaching people on the street. And yeah, I think because the course is run by people who stammer, I think it can work quite well, as you sort of know that you're in a safe space and everyone that surrounds you knows exactly what you're going through. So yeah, I had my first ever course, or I went on my first ever Maguire course back in June 2012, and it was the one thing that changed things for me, because I tried hypnotherapy, I tried sort of state-run speech therapy, and I would sit there and be really trying my best, and then I would leave the hospital, and then someone would speak to me, and I wouldn't be able to put anything into practice that I'd been practicing. So, yeah, for me, it's been really helpful over the course of the past 10 years, but it's not a cure. I still stammer every day, but yeah, I think it made me see what was possible in a way that other therapies hadn't shown me previously.
Is there a fairly good success rate?
Yeah, I think that they would say so. I think what's difficult is because we're all taught in exactly the same way, way, despite the way that our speech is, I think it's hard to make comparisons. I would say that if someone tries really, really hard to put aside all of the tricks that they have and really, really try just to implement the techniques for 6 months, then it can have a really good success rate. But it is hard, and it's not about just having the support of the people in the program, but you need the support of people back home as well, like your colleagues, your friends. And I think if all of these things work in tandem, then it can be really successful. But I think it is a program that asks a lot of its members, because you're essentially told, here are your techniques, try and use them 24/7. And we all know how that can go.
Yeah. I'm not, I've never taken the McGuire program, but I did dabble with, a more traditional speech therapy program also about 10 or 12 years ago. And it was student run. So students that were studying to be, speech therapists, none of them stuttered themselves. And they also, the goal was to try to fix me. And, with fluency shaping methods, that's not what I wanted. I didn't want to be fixed, because, let's face it, stuttering, stammering, if you're an adult, it's like a lifelong thing. And really what I was interested was, just finding a way to speak more comfortably, without the tension, or without getting, myself all worked up about how other people were going to think and those type of things. So, and like you, I could be fairly fluent in the clinic room with the therapist, but when I went out into the real world, quote unquote, nothing worked. I just, because it wasn't that safe private room. The world, is so much different and largely impatient, so that's always a challenge for people who stammer, I think, right?
Yeah.
Now, is there any type of follow-up with McGuire? You said you took the course like 10 years ago. Is there an opportunity for you to either do it again or keep in touch with other McGuire graduates?
Yeah, definitely. So there's a lifelong membership process, which is good. Once you do your first course, you're encouraged to go on a refresher program, I think within the first 6 months. I think I went on mine the month after I did my first course, and then I went on around 8 courses, I think, in the first year.
Wow.
there's always courses available in different regions. I know it's quite worldwide. I've never been to a course outside the UK, but I'd definitely be up for it, because I often get to, or I think the pandemic's been interesting, as so much of what was happening in person is now online. So it gives you an opportunity to meet our other members that are worldwide that you wouldn't maybe have had the chance to, and it's made me see that those people aren't so scary at all. So there definitely is a follow-up aspect. There are support groups and stuff like that that you can attend, but a lot of it has been online. And whilst it works for some people, I don't think online has been intense enough for me, particularly. So I'm quite excited now that things are opening up a bit more and we are returning to face-to-face. But yeah, I don't think there's been a face-to-face course, at least in the UK, for about 2.5 years. So it's exciting.
Yeah. And you're right. You know, like, it seems to me that when you're doing Zoom or meeting with people over video chat, it's so impersonal. You know, you're looking at a person in a box. I mean, it's personal enough when it's just two people, you know, but when you have a screen full of little boxes of heads, you know, it's just not the same.
I completely agree with you. I have found it particularly difficult working from home since March 2020. We use Teams at work, but throughout the pandemic, we haven't had our cameras turned on at all. So I moved into a new team in March of last year, and I've been working with people that I have no idea what they look like.
Wow.
And I'm just used to their voices, and that's it. And also, I know not for everyone, but for me, I find it really helpful just having eye contact with somebody. And it's hard enough when you're on a laptop and there's a camera, but right. if you've got no video, like no camera at all, it's even more difficult to sort of keep that focus. So
why do you keep the videos off? I mean, that's weird.
I completely agree. So towards the start of the pandemic, there were loads of bandwidth issues, and if somebody had their camera on and there was multiple people on the call, it would just mean that the call would keep dropping out, there would be a lag. And so eventually they said, just keep your cameras turned off. But yeah, it, like you say, it's very impersonal anyway. I was actually in the office 5 days this week, and it was just so nice to actually see people. I didn't have any idea what any of the members of my team would look like, but I knew all of their voices, and that's something that definitely helped me to locate them all in the office.
Yeah. Gosh, that almost sounds like being a blind person. You know, like your sense of hearing has to be so much more keen, to make out who people are because you can't see them. That's really interesting, but you must be so relieved to be back into social interaction with real people. So awesome. One last question that I have about Maguire, and then we'll move on. I have seen videos of the Maguire program, and of course I've had other women on this podcast that have also experienced the program, but I've always been interested in the belt. Like, I've seen people wear a belt like around their chest. What's that all about?
Cool. So initially when I joined, and this was back in 2012, the belt was just something that you would wear sort of on a course and perhaps the first few weeks after you leave your first course, and that was it. But I've definitely noticed, I don't know, in the last 5 years that it's more of a permanent thing. It's mainly because if you have a belt that's quite sort of restrictive, as we're supposed to monitor our breathing constantly, it sort of just reminds you, like, oh, okay, the belt is tight now, and it just sort of helps you to know if you're sort of getting a deep enough breath, which can be helpful. I know sometimes in the past, if I have wanted to make sure that I am exaggerating showing people that I'm trying to use a technique, then I'll make sure that I wear a belt on the outside of my clothes all the time. It's something that I've worn to interviews because then I know if I've got that on the outside, then I shouldn't be doing anything to hide my stammer effectively, because as people can already see that I have a belt on, and that's something that's different, if that makes sense. But yeah, the belt is to help remind you to get a deep enough breath every single time you attempt to speak.
Well, there's certainly not people, I mean, there's certainly people that don't understand stammering, period, because it's so rare. But do people ask you, like, why are you wearing a
Belt on.
belt?
Definitely. So again, I think for the first 2 months of the job that I'm in now, I would wear my belt on the outside of my clothes, and I would get asked that question, and I'd just say, yeah, hey, I have a stammer. I use a speech technique, which is all about my breathing. And this just reminds me to do it. And I think that would be the main question that they'd have. But yeah, I don't think it. I don't think it phases people as much as you think it would. And I think for me personally, having it on show just helps me to not care about the way in which I present myself as a person who stammers, and it's quite helpful, I personally find. But saying that, since I've been at home the past 2.5 years, I haven't been wearing it hardly ever, so I probably need to get back into that habit, maybe.
Oh gosh, and it probably makes, disclosure of your stammering so much easier because you're wearing like something very visible. So if people ask and you respond that it's a tool that helps you with your stammering, then it's out there, and then it's much easier, because I would think that you're no longer worrying about, oh, what's going to happen when I stammer, because they know already. So that's a perfect way to do that and manage disclosure. But to be honest, I would never do it. But I mean, it's, obviously each to their own. And if it works, then, people have to make their own choices as to, what makes them more comfortable. And there's so many options out there. Some are real and they're helpful and they're run by, good people, well-intentioned people. And then there are a lot of scams out there also. So it's important that, as consumers of various different therapy programs, that we're informed. So, I'm sure you've ran into that as well. Like, they're just like all over the internet. Yeah, I've seen one in particular, this one person, She can have you stop stammering completely in 3 days over a Skype course, and she charges like some ridiculous amount of money. I always get really concerned about that because many people are desperate to find that cure, and people will pay that kind of money. I just hate seeing that, but I also understand people's desperation because they feel that it holds them back so much. I'm glad that you and I are savvy enough to understand what's real and purposeful and helpful. Now, you mentioned that you're a trustee on STAMA, which was at one time the British Stammering Association.
Yes.
How long have you been involved in the stammering community?
Great questions. So, not too long. I was elected, I want to say the 30th or 31st of October 2021. So, I'm s still re relatively new. To give a bit of a backstory, that is a girl that I've had the girl that I've had the pleasure of coaching, I think, since December 20 to 20, and towards the start of l last year, she decided that she would become a volunteer f for a charity called Action for Stammering Children, and I was just super, super inspired by her, essentially, and I th thought it was just great that she'd taken this opportunity. And then in August of last year, I'd seen that Stammer was looking for people to apply to become a trustee, and I thought, I've got absolutely nothing to lose, so let's go ahead and try. And yeah, I haven't really looked back. I found it quite a challenging process, the application, but I've learned so much so far, and I've still got so much le left to learn. But I think, and it's something I've mentioned to you before, Pam, that I think what's really struck me in the past 6 months is, being in Maguire for so long, I just had the one perspective, and it's been helpful to learn that there are lots of ways to become comfortable in the way that we are, and the way that we speak, and the way that we hold ourselves. And so, yeah, I hope that the perspective that I've gained from Maguire in the past 10 years will help me to bring something fresh to the charity. But at the same time, I have learned so much from my other fellow trustees, and from all of the other summers that I've had the pleasure to meet and to speak to from the events that I've experienced so far. And I'm looking forward to Stammerfest in August of this year. It will be the first time that I've attended an event like this one, and I hope that I will have the chance to meet stammerers worldwide. I'm very, very, very excited.
So Stammerfest is something that's being organized for the global stuttering community.
That's what I understand. Again, I'm no expert, but my understanding is that there's an event on the Thursday, I want to say on the 24th of August, and that is, I want to say, the AGM. I might need to take this part out because I'm not actually sure that's true, but there is an event that is directly run by Stammer that's due to be on the Thursday. And then I'd like to say that the rest of the events that week are all run by its members and those people that have kindly offered to facilitate workshops.
I think I've heard that the AGM is like the something general membership. So I forget what the A stands for, but it's like a general membership
Annual.
meeting.
Yeah. So I think that, excuse me, I need to bounce for excuse me. Yeah, so I think that AGM stands for Annual General Meeting. I know that the one that we had in 2021 was in October, so I'm not completely sure if the one that we'll have this year will be in August, but so I hear, but please don't quote me on that because I'm not completely sure.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I'm also extremely impressed. Here in the US, I'm part of the National Stuttering Association. And we, of course, have different programs aimed at different gender populations and then different ages, kids, teenagers, adults. But I'm really impressed with what Stamma is doing with some of the programs, like find the right words, hashtag find the right words, and hashtag no diversity without disfluency, and I think that those things, especially getting them out in the public, is just an amazing way and simple way to educate people, and I really like that. I think it's just so progressive,
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that the public can often be ignorant, and it is often through no fault of their own. I remember there was a cleaning job that I had not too long ago whilst I was at university, and I had a colleague there who had never come across someone who stammered before. And she asked me if it's something that I took medication for, and I was horrified. I was like, you
Oh
don't get it.
gosh.
Yeah. So I think that, yeah, I think that campaigns like No Diversity Without Disfluency, yeah, it just helps helps people to become familiar with what stammering is and how it can present itself, so that hopefully the situations of ourselves and all of the young children that come after us will hopefully be a little bit more positive.
Yeah. I also remember, I think certain soon after Jane Powell came in as the executive director, I remember seeing pictures of stamma spelled out in different ways, especially like the M, you know, like a little bit bigger. And I remember people were posting pictures of themselves with the stamma on like stands or posts in the tube stations. I'm like, wow, like that is so innovative to have that where, you know, thousands of people are coming through every day.
Yeah.
Wow. That's just really amazing. And it's amazing that you have gotten so deeply involved in the stammering community in a relatively short time. It's like you've dove in and, you know, you mentioned earlier, a fresh perspective. It's always so important to, you know, bring new people into organizations because, you know, different thoughts and ideas are, you know, need it to move an organization forward. So bravo to you for, you know, getting involved so quickly, you know, to the point where you're a trustee on the board. I just think that's just wonderful that all you're doing in a relatively short time, the community is lucky to have you.
Thank you so much, Pam. Those words that you shared were all so kind, and I'm really just hoping that I do the role justice, or the justice that it needs for the next 2.5 years. But no, thank you. I really appreciate that.
I'm confident that you will. In wind down mode, I just have one more question that I'd like to ask. What advice would you give to a young woman or any woman that is just starting out on her journey of recognizing, accepting, stammering, because you seem to have, you know, started at one place and you're at a different place now. So how might you advise somebody else, particularly a woman?
Of course. Really good question. I'm just going to resist time pressure and really think about this one for a second.
Absolutely. There is no time pressure.
Thank you, Pam. So I think the first step is to really think about what it means for you to be authentic. I think that can mean something different to everyone. I think for me to truly accept my stammer, and I'm still on the journey to doing that. I've not accepted it completely. I think in part it's because of where my stammer started. When I began stammering, I was just silent blocking. For about 6 months, I wasn't saying anything. So I think it's just trying to understand what it means for you to, in your heart of hearts, feel authentic. If I have a situation where someone doesn't know that I stammer, I don't feel good about it at all. I don't feel authentic. If I have a situation where I've held back from maybe saying what I want to say, or I've felt quite conflicted in a speaking situation. I don't quite feel authentic, but at the same time, I know and understand that I'm not going to get it right every time because I have a stammer and it's variable, it's changeable. So I think my best advice would be to really sit down with your thoughts and think, how can I best feel authentic and be honest about who I am in the moment? And in the times that you don't get it right, that's fine. Just accept it, move on, and know that there will be other opportunities to shine, to express the person that you are, and that on your good days and your bad days too, you're still the same person. You're amazing, and people will love you for that. So try not to put too much pressure on yourself. I think that would be the best advice, and my best advice that I would give to a young woman who's starting out in her journey of self-acceptance.
Wow. That was said so perfectly and honestly. And I think anybody, you know, hearing that would recognize loud and clear that we don't need to beat ourselves up for, you know, who we are or what happened, you know, an hour ago or what might happen. And you shared that from your heart. So thank you. I think a lot of people will be inspired by hearing your truth. We all have our truths, and it's important that when we can, that we share that with others. Chantel, thank you so much for being a guest today and sharing parts of your story. It's going to ring true with so many people.
Thank you very much again for this opportunity. It's been a complete pleasure to speak with you, Pam, and your podcast. I think it's amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories. Emerging.